There's nothing like a bit of pressure, is there? It's wonderful to see so many people. I'm the opposite of Stuart. I have to put these on to read and take them off to see you. So you'll see me switching my glasses around a bit as well. But it's wonderful to have so many people here in person. We've thought so hard over the last 2 years about how should we do this commissioning service, and to have left it till now. I was a bit unsure, but now I look out, I'm like, yes, we're here, we're in person. We're going to get tea and coffee later and get to see each other. For some of our street passers, we've not all seen each other for nearly 2 years, except on our patrols. So it's just great, really good to be together and to have had all our guests as well. Thank you. I know David's had to leave because council business is very busy right now, but everybody else, thank you so much. I want to take a few moments this evening just to reflect on a very well-known passage in the Bible that I find very helpful, and I hope not just our street passers, but I hope all of you will find it helpful too. I deliberately didn't give the media team here the passage to put on the screen, because I'd like you to actually just listen and just let the words sit with you. Very well-known passage from the Apostle Paul in Romans chapter 8. I am convinced that nothing can ever separate us from God's love. Neither death nor life, neither angels nor demons, neither our fears for today nor our worries about tomorrow. Not even the powers of hell can separate us from God's love. No power in the sky above or in the earth below, indeed nothing in all creation, will ever be able to separate us from the love of God that is revealed in Christ Jesus our Lord. We're not just commissioning street pastors tonight, we're commissioning prayer pastors as well. And the prayer pastors are a really important part of what we do. In fact, during the lockdowns, they were praying at least once a week, I suspect twice, meeting online, finding out what was going on in our communities, hassling me to see what I was finding out from our partnership meetings, any way in which we could bless the difficulties that our city was going through. They're absolutely amazing. We're going to be commissioning some of them, as well as some street passers, but they're all men and women who should have been commissioned in Easter 2020. Something like 2 weeks after the first lockdown started. So here we are, 2 years later. 2 years later than planned. And I don't need to tell you that although it's wonderful to be here without restrictions tonight, we're still deeply impacted by the pandemic. Our NHS is struggling. Stuart mentioned that there's a lot of mental health difficulties out there. In a recent survey, 67% of young people aged 13 to 25 said the pandemic had a long-term effect on their mental health. 67%. We're watching the unfolding events in Ukraine. I don't know about you, but I'm horrified. Our media predicts that the economic crisis and the fuel crisis combined are going to lead to 1.3 million people in the UK falling into absolute poverty at some point this year, unable to feed themselves, unable to heat their homes, possibly unable to even keep their homes, absolute poverty. And then we've got climate change. Prayer pastors wrestle with all of these issues in prayer. And our street pastors are available in any public space that we can find to listen, to care, and to help. We're in the nighttime economy. We've been doing daytime patrols for nearly 10 years now. We've been in two of our housing estates. We have a regular welcome from some of our schools, although we don't do school pastors. And we're finding over the last 2 years that we're spending far more time listening than anything else that we do. We're living in a time when there's great anxiety and low mood, and we see it on the streets all of the time. And we're not immune. My mood hasn't been the best over the last 12 months. Those of you who know me well will know that. We all need something in which we can hope for ourselves, but also something that's even bigger than we could hope for ourselves, something we can share with other people. In the church, we've recently celebrated Easter. I think the Easter message is multi-layered. I think there's so many things you can understand from the Easter message. But this year, I've been really meditating over the Easter weekend You know, and on Good Friday, I was just reminded that everything, everything eventually dies or falls apart. It doesn't go the way we thought it would go. It doesn't turn out the way we would like it to be. It isn't free of pain, isn't free of hurt, isn't free of suffering, isn't free of difficulty. But I was also reminded that God holds those moments with us. He's not somewhere else. The image of Jesus on the cross is the God who stands with us in our sufferings in total solidarity with the human condition. We ask these questions on the streets a lot. Where's God when all of this is going on? He's not somewhere else. He's right here with us in it. We're not alone. You're not alone. I don't know about you, Easter Saturday is one of those days that's easy to sort of gloss over, isn't it? But having thought so hard about Good Friday and looking forward so much to Resurrection Sunday, I found Easter Saturday was quite a hard day. It was a day of waiting. And again, I looked into the gospel story in the Bible and saw that it was a very dark and difficult time for the disciples. It was a time of waiting. It was a time of uncertainty. It felt very dark and very difficult. And again, I hear these stories on the streets all of the time. But we all know, don't we, that Resurrection Sunday comes. And we remember that God can and will transform everything that falls apart. Nothing remains dead for very long. We should get really, really excited about Resurrection Sunday. Nothing can separate us from the love of God, and that love is eternal. Nothing remains dead for very long. Nothing that falls apart is never put back together again. God heals, restores, loves, transforms. He's in there with us in whatever we're going through, whatever our society's going through. Doesn't let go, never let go, and eventually brings things to a place of transformation and healing and restoration. And as a Christian, the hope that I have, that I talked about earlier, what hope do we have? The hope I have as a Christian is I believe that everything will finally have a victorious meaning, no matter how it appears to turn out. And Easter teaches me that lesson every year. When I'm street pastoring, I believe that God can help the person on the street as I listen to them pouring out their heart at 2 a.m. As I'm listening, he's listening. As I'm present, he's present. In fact, very often he's present through the person I'm listening to, and I'm learning something too. I believe that by working in partnership with others, as we've heard tonight, we can connect people with the practical help that they need. I believe that our communities can be safe, secure, caring places where people look out for one another. And I believe that everything and every human being has a God-given dignity and can be helped to realize and become all that they could be. And I meet so many young people on the streets that just need to hear that and just need to know that and just need to believe that. There's so much despair out there, but we have such a great hope that we cannot just keep to ourselves. If I didn't believe any of this, I wouldn't feel that I could authentically step out onto the streets wearing this. But I do, and I can. I want to finish with some words that echo what I've just said from somebody else. From somebody else who went through a very hard time in their part of the world, in their culture. From Archbishop Desmond Tutu, as he reflected on some of the terrible problems he saw in apartheid in South Africa. I'm just going to read something from his book, God Has a Dream, a Vision of Hope for Our Time. Dear child of God, it is often difficult for us to recognize the presence of God in our lives and in our world. In the clamor of the tragedy that fills the headlines, how easily we forget about the majesty that is present all around us. We feel vulnerable and often helpless, but we are not helpless, and with God's love, we are ultimately invincible. Our God does not forget those who are suffering and oppressed. Whilst gathered with church leaders during the most difficult days of apartheid, we met at a theological college that had closed down because of the government's racist policies. During our discussions, I went into the Priory Garden for some quiet. There was a huge Calvary, a large wooden cross with a corpus, but without protruding nails and the crown of thorns. It was a stark symbol of the Christian faith. It was winter. The grass was pale and dry, and nobody would have believed that in a few weeks' time it would be lush and green and beautiful again. It would be transfigured. As I sat quietly in the garden, I realized the power of transfiguration, of God's transformation in our world. The principle of transfiguration is at work when something so unlikely as the brown grass that covers our veld in winter becomes bright green again. Or when the tree with gnarled leafless branches bursts forth with the sap, flowing so that birds sit chirping in its leafy branches. Or when the once dry streams gurgle with swift flowing water. When winter gives way to spring and nature seems to experience its own resurrection. The principle of transfiguration says nothing, no one, and no situation is untransfigurable. The whole of creation, nature, waits expectantly for its transfiguration, when it will be released from its bondage and share in the glorious liberty of the children of God, when it will not just be dry, inert matter, but will be translucent with divine glory. All over this magnificent world, God calls us to extend God's kingdom of shalom, peace and wholeness, of justice, of goodness, of compassion, of caring, of sharing, of laughter, of joy and of reconciliation. God is transfiguring the world right this very moment through us, because God believes in us and because God loves us. What can separate us from the love of God? Nothing. Absolutely nothing. And as we share God's love with our brothers and sisters, God's other children, there is no tyrant who can resist us. No oppression that cannot be ended. No hunger that cannot be fed. No wound that cannot be healed. No hatred that cannot be turned to love. No dream that cannot be fulfilled. We live in difficult times, but what a great and wonderful hope we have. And it's more than sufficient for us as individuals. It's so sufficient it overflows into those around us if we will just let it. Thanks for listening.